Hey everyone, welcome back to Sophomore Citizens. I'm Gigi.
I'm Liesl.
And I'm Lily.
Okay everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sophomore Citizens. Today's episode has a special theme, which is Halloween, as it is the beautiful month of October and Halloween is right around the corner. But before we get into everything Halloween related, it is time for our check-in, which today will be all about one of my favorite things on this globe, The Bachelorette, which, thank God, came back. We just saw the first episode. This episode will be coming out a few weeks later, so our wise babies out there might have seen multiple episodes, but all of us, we have just seen night one, and I want, first of all, let's talk Claire. What do we think about her as the Bachelorette? How do we feel about how she was on night one? Did she handle it well?
Well, I will first just say this. I think that the narrative they're pushing of like she deserves love, I stand by it.
Like, I agree.
I do see it for her, and I'm like, you know what? Like, she is nearing 40, which, you know, nothing but respect on that. But it's a little tougher for a woman who's had, you know, less luck in love to find her man's. And like, I think that she deserves. Even if this is try number five, whatever number it is, like, I do believe that she deserves love. I think that she's like a beautiful soul, a beautiful face. Like, I think that, you know, she's great. Not that I think she's like the best Bachelorette ever by any means, but I do think that she's, you know, fun enough. She's got the right amount of cookie cutter to her to be the Bachelorette. Mm-hmm.
Okay, look, I'm not going to say I disagree because I'm not like a ruthless bitch who's going to say she doesn't deserve love. Like, don't get me wrong. I agree. I think she deserves love. But here's what I don't agree with. I don't think she's that great of a Bachelorette. If I have to hear her say one more time that like she has been looking for so long and she's single and it's so hard because of her age, which I'm not saying it's not. But like, there are plenty of 39-year-olds in the world that are single. It's not some novel idea. And I was just getting very tired of hearing her say that she's tried a million times. And it made me feel like she's trying to claim that she's the only one in the world who is single and struggling to find love.
Okay, I can understand where you're coming from, Lily, but especially also, and I know that there are a number of women or people out there who have this experience of like literally getting to 40 and never having been married. But Lily, consider that we are, you and I, both 21 years of age right now. Please consider living another 20 years where you don't get married or have a serious relationship that's like truly meaningful.
That would be
consider
terrible.
That.
That'd be awful. I don't want to even put that so into the universe.
So do you feel that if you were in that situation that you would deserve another chance?
No, I am not denying that she deserves another chance. I'm not mad that she's the Bachelorette. I'm just mad that she will not shut up about not having found love yet. Like, you're not the only 39-year-old single woman. It's not crazy. Like, you're getting this opportunity. Let's roll with it. And all I hear from her is just like, oh, I had it so hard on this, on that. Like, okay.
But Lily, I think that that has more to do with production and editing than it has to do with who like Claire probably actually is in real life. Like, I bet in her interviews that was such a small fraction of what she wanted to talk about, and of course the editors are like, that's what we want to feature because that's the narrative that they're trying to portray.
And but it's like, also night one where they're really trying to like set up that narrative.
Totally. I think that Claire is a great choice. I think especially coming off the back of Peter's disaster of a season, which we've already talked about how much I dislike Peter's season and all of the women involved in that whole situation. So I'm really glad to be having a clean slate with Claire and like have someone who's serious and like ready to be married and like knows what she wants. And I think that that is the perfect segue into the obvious, which is that she's clearly in love with Dale and just doesn't even have eyes for anyone else. How do you girls feel about this as like the format for this season?
You know what I have to say? Okay, I can't speak on the format of the season, but I think that more bachelors and bachelorettes have a similar experience to what she's having. They're just not vocal about it. Yeah, they're not vocal about it because they want to like play the game and like that's kind of what you're supposed to do. But I suspect that a lot of people who have been on Bachelor, Bachelorette, like meet everyone night one and probably have like one or two people in mind that they're like, you're an actual contender for my lifelong partner. And everyone else, like, yeah, I'll have fun dating you and like, I'll go through the process. But in reality, like, I kind of have in the back of my head who I know is going to be the one.
Yeah. And I think that also with The Bachelorette, the first impression rose, like, almost always ends up being the winner, which I think speaks on some level to like how women are a little bit more able to like assess and evaluate the group of guys and like know what they're looking for. Whereas like the men night one, like the men who are The Bachelor night one, just get so distracted by like all of the women and like what they look like and not what they're actually like in their heart. And so I feel like that's also why personally I love The Bachelorette so much more than The Bachelor, because like the lead always knows what she wants so much more. And she's like actually evaluating the men like on all levels, you know, physical and like emotional. And I just think it's funny because Lily, of course, upon only seeing the men for this season, predicted Dale.
Well, wait, it's my proudest accomplishment.
Did you predict Dale or you chose Dale for yourself?
I did both. I did choose it for myself. Although seeing him on the screen, I think I less choose him for myself. He like looked, something was a little off. And I think that seeing them in action, maybe I would choose a different one. But yes, I did predict Dale in all the ways months ago. And I'm very proud of it.
I get good vibes from Dale. And honestly, I'm the opposite of you, Lily, where when I saw the photo of him, I wasn't like that sold on him. But like now that I've seen like the way that he is and the way that they interact together, like I see it a lot more. And it's unfortunate because like now that we've had night one, I'm just like ready to move on to Tayshia.
Same.
And I'm really excited for that moment. So like, I just don't want to waste any more time with Claire because she's just settled. Like she's just good with Dale.
Yeah. And I am curious to know how many episodes they're going to spend running with through Claire. The Claire shit just to get to Tayshia.
I'm also sad that she's so set because personally I loved Blake with his little, he was the guy who reached out to her and they had their moment.
I thought he looked like John Travolta.
Ew. I did not get those vibes, but now I don't think I like him anymore because you just ruined him for me. But I'm sad that she doesn't, I don't know, I kind of liked him and some of the other guys and it was annoying for in the back of my head, we'd be like, okay, well this season is just going to end and it's going to be Dale and that's it.
No, but that's the thing. Then the season like is gonna end, yeah. But then a lot of these same guys are gonna stick around for Tayshia. So yes, like you never know, Lily. Blake could be the one for Tayshia.
Okay, I have a question. So obviously on this podcast we have spoken at length about shoes, socks, pants, all of the above. How do we feel about the lack of socks on night one?
Okay. This is a great thing to bring up, Gigi, and I really appreciate you bringing it up. The lack of socks this night was so apparent to me. And I think that for me personally, I'm not as repulsed by the no sock look as I think some other women are. But for me, the pants have to be long enough and loose enough that it's not like a legging and then like full ankle. And you also like as a man on night one, take into account the fact that you're getting out of a limo and they're like showing you get out of a car. Like there, it literally looked like some of them were wearing Bermuda shorts when they were getting out of the car because their pants are so short and like tight and weird. So that's, it's a no for me. And I think that there is a world where no socks can be a good look and can be, it just gives a more casual kind of just
tropical. I get a tropical vibe.
But last night I didn't see a single ankle that I approved of.
Liesl, you hit the nail on the head. I completely agree. I don't have an issue with the no sock look. I mean, I think I maybe would prefer, I don't know, like they're two different vibes. I'm not mad at either of them. I have a serious issue with how much leg I saw. I do not want to see anything more than your ankle. And on multiple men, I was getting like your lower leg, wait, like pants were way too short. And I do not approve of that look, whether it's with socks or without. It's a terrible look.
Also, like, I mean, I don't know if this is just coming off of watching The Last Dance, but like, I'm ready to go back to the massive, like, Armani suit look. Like, I'm so done with these, like, tight little, like, looks like a woman's jacket, like, in coral. Like, I'm so done with that.
I could not agree more. And, like, I had not even put together in my mind this massive Armani suit featured multiple times in The Last Dance. But, like, I have a crush on everyone in The Last Dance. Anyone featured, like, in the 90s, not all the confessionals.
Dennis Rodman?
Everyone. I have a crush on everyone in The Last Dance. And it's those big, massive suits that are, they're so...
It just has swag.
Stylish. Yeah. So swag. Exactly. Yeah. I feel so, like, such a noob being like, oh, the swag. But it's true.
Right.
Okay, what about, Liesl, you mentioned, and I want to talk about the coral. I think it was Easy who was wearing a pink suit. How do we feel about that?
Listen, like, I think that there's a time and a place, and I remember on...
And it's not night one.
I remember on Hannah B's season, there was a, like, coral jacket that, like, made the rounds. Like, Tyler wore it, like, Dylan Liesl, wore it. Like,
actually
they
so
were,
true.
They were, like, loaning it to each other, which I thought was really funny. But I think that the full suit in pink is too much. If you want to just do a pink or red jacket with a, you know, neutral colored pant, I could see that working. And I could see also a pink blazer working with like a polo under, not like a suit. I don't know.
I do think though that, like, you know, when I put myself in the position of night one and I'm trying to dress to impress, like, I do want to stand out.
That so it does help to
I don't think coral suit head to toe is the way to do that. But it's not out of the question, I guess, to do something a little more dairy and exciting to, like, differentiate yourself.
Totally. Or just, like, wear a straight jacket. That was a great
that
move.
No. I actually have things I need to say on this. He couldn't have fucked that up worse. The fact that he got a rose was absolutely unbelievable to me for this reason. The fact that, like, I would say part of the most, like, the most important part in my mind to the, like, walk out the limo, that first interaction, is establishing comfortable touch.
Yeah.
Whether that's through the hands, whether that's through a hug, like, you need to break that barrier and just have comfortable touch with the person if they're literally going to be your life partner.
Yeah.
And the fact that you show up in a fucking straitjacket, you don't touch, and he didn't take it off the whole night.
I know.
As far as we saw, he didn't take it off the whole night. You didn't get to touch her once.
I know. And, like, you're so right, Gigi, that some of the best, you know, first interactions out of the limo are, like, when they salsa dance or, like, have, like, a hug, or, like, Dale, like, literally hugged her and, like, lifted her off of the ground. Like, that's what you want. You don't want, like, hi, goober.
It was so fucking weird. I hated it. And now thinking about it, when he got his rose, did she have to, like, do it while his hands were trapped? Like, I can't even remember.
I guess.
Another thing that I noticed during the rose ceremony, which I've never noticed before, and I'm not sure if this is normal and just me being oblivious or if this was special, but the rose ceremony was in the light of the sun, which led me to think that the night went all the way through, which one of my roommates pointed out to me. So do you think that it started getting them when they got out of the limo and then the night went so long that it was like 5, 6 a.m.?
That's how night one is.
I'm surprised you've never noticed that
they
before,
always
really.
Do those exit interviews at, like, at sunrise.
Wow, so they were just popping champagne at 6 a.m.
No, Lily, they start, like,
no, but she's right because Claire cheersed all of the men.
Yeah.
What a lovely time to be drinking your champagne.
Okay, so let's get into the topics for today's episode, which is all about Old Hallows Eve. So my topic for today is just a general opener about spooky season in general, about October, how we feel about not only the spook and the scares and the thrills and the chills, but how we feel about, like, October as being taken over by Halloween. You know, October and December, like, don't even get to be months because you're just so preoccupied with what the holiday is. And I guess to some extent, maybe people feel that way about November, but I doubt it. But, you know, it's pretty unique that October, it becomes a pretty different time of the year for a lot of people. A lot of people pull out decorations. A lot of people, you know, go out and get their special drinks. So I just want to start out by, what are your girls' initial impressions about, like, the spooky season of October? Do we get into it or do we not really vibe with it?
Something I think is funny that has happened multiple years for me is that like October 1st will come and like I'm not the type to be super on top of like what the date is. And so I'll see somewhere like October 1st, someone's posting on Instagram, posting on Twitter, posting on TikTok, whatever is like, oh, spooky season. And I'm just like, y'all are on top of this. Like, I would not say that I'm someone who's like really diligent about like, oh, it's spooky season. But I would say that like once it begins, I'm bound to be a little festive. You know, I do love a good seasonal flavored pastry, drink, whatever it might be.
Totally.
I love spooky season. October 1st, yeah, definitely marks that. I think that what makes this different than maybe some other ones is that this is the first change of like season if you're in a place where seasons really do change. So it's like getting colder, which is progressing towards the spooky, scary Halloween. And so you can also feel it. So it's a really immersive experience. I also, being that one of my favorite candies in the world is candy corn, love that this is the month that I get to eat candy corn, which I've been getting so much hate for recently. And I love all the little pumpkin treats, pumpkin drinks, all of the sort. I am absolutely here for it. And I just think it's fun. Like, we've gone so much of the year without being festive because, as we said, December is super festive, even November, but we've had to break since last December. So I love that this is the marking of another festivity.
I feel like when it comes to holidays and being festive, you get out what you put in. And I think that spooky season is a great example of that. So it's like, you might be the type to just maybe, you know, like enjoy the pumpkins when you see them at the grocery store, or like marvel at some decorations that you see. But like, if you're not going to get into it, you're just not going to get that much out of it. And by contrast, the more you put in, the more you get out.
Totally. And I think that like, for me, especially in childhood, which we will also kind of expand upon later, like the pumpkin patch / like Halloween carnival vibe is just, it's a really great energy to be around. I feel like everyone is dressed up. Everyone is ready to have fun. Pumpkin carving is like a gross but fun activity. And obviously baking stuff, going out and getting your fall drinks and all of that kind of stuff, I do really enjoy. Like, I can't imagine being the type of person that has like a box of like October decorations and like putting them out around my house and then like putting them back in the box and then like storing that away. Like, I just feel like I will never be that type of person. I think there are a lot of people who get a lot of joy out of that. But like, for me, the decor of October and Halloween, I'm not really that into. Whereas like when Christmas time comes around, like I totally want decorations, lights, tree, festivities. Like, I'm not as into the decorations and like aesthetic mm-hmm. of Halloween as much personally. So on top of that, I wanted to talk about the spookiness itself.
The scary.
How do we feel about spooky and scary? Do we enjoy it? Do we not?
I'm not a spooktastic individual. I would say I'm very easily scared. I don't like scary movies. I don't like things popping out at me. That, like, I was never the type to, you know, go to a haunted house, go to Halloween horror nights. None of that is for me. So I don't think that that is my thing.
Yeah, I would agree. On the spook spectrum, I'm pretty low. Like, I don't think that I find much enjoyment in like the scary of it all. But I can appreciate that like we have this time of year dedicated to that. So like, you know, if I could on Halloween like be something a little like more edgy or scary, I think that that's a fun way to incorporate the spooky scary element. But like, similarly, I don't love a good haunted mansion. I don't love scary movies. Like, I don't find enjoyment in being scared.
I know. I have had just like for my entire life such an aversion to scary movies. And even now, like, I love Game of Thrones, for example, which is super gory and like violent and like bloody, you know, and in a more realistic way than a lot of scary movies. But there's something about like the suspense factor of scary movies that I just don't enjoy. And I think it's interesting because I think a lot of people compare going to a scary movie to going on a roller coaster, which I know that we all really enjoy roller coasters and like that sort of adrenaline, but like the adrenaline just like doesn't happen for like a scary movie.
It's not the same.
I know.
At all.
But like, people compare it.
I don't know. I have not encountered anyone in my life that has compared those two things, but I could see it, I guess. Uh-huh. But I don't personally agree with that whatsoever. Like there's so much fun and excitement and release that comes from being on a roller coaster. Whereas like, I don't know about you guys, but I leave a scary movie like wide awake at night, like curled up under my covers, like waiting for something to come get me.
Right.
I was just about to say the reason I don't like scary movies and my least favorite part is because they torment me when I leave. Like exactly. A roller coaster doesn't sting me, haunt me in my sleep. That is so different. I don't like that comparison at all.
What I will say though is there is one scary movie, you could say, that we all have a special place in our hearts for.
Yeah.
The boy?
Brahms.
Brahms.
See, that's like literally, it's humorous.
Yeah.
How bad that film is.
And non-scary.
And non-scary that like that I can enjoy.
Yeah, totally. And so if anyone out there hasn't seen The Boy, find it online.
Also, The Boy 2. Yeah, it's The Boy. Yeah. But The Boy 2 is either out or we're supposed to come out.
I know. So we definitely have to watch The Boy 2. And I think it has a famous actress in it.
It very well could.
I think it has Tom Cruise's ex-wife, but I'm blanking on what her name is. But anyway, so
sorry, Cruz's mom?
Yes.
Katie Holmes. I was, my wheels were turning and I was getting there.
You got it. So I think that the consensus among the three of us is that we're not into being spooked and scared. What I in particular hate is the chainsaws. I don't understand why you could go to a haunted house and there be someone with a chainsaw. And I understand that the sharp part of the chainsaw, they take that out so that it's safe. But I just don't want to be chased by someone with a chainsaw. Like, that is literally horrible. Why would anyone do that intentionally? And then also, like, I feel like when you go to, like, a haunted house as, like, in high school or whatever, like, as, like, a little teeny bopper, like all of the boys have to like front and be like, oh yeah, like come at me and like make fun of it, and just like that whole vibe is just so terrible.
Yeah, I don't like chainsaw. I also, like, in my mind, accidents happen. Like, I know that the chainsaw's gone and like I guess we're not that scared about the chainsaw, but like I'm just saying, when it comes to being chased and other weaponry and other things involved,
trip and fall.
Yeah,
and
stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like, people try and be like, oh, ha, 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 it's all fake and fun. Shit happens.
Yeah, like, don't play around with your life.
Yeah.
Also, like, let's go back to the source of why we're doing this. It's because it's spooky season. And, like, I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, like, being chased with a chainsaw is not spooky. That shit is scary and dangerous. Like, that Halloween is not supposed to be dangerous. It's supposed to be spooky and fun. That does not say spooky or fun to me.
You know, I will say it is kind of unfair that, like, I feel that we are all three pretty much on the same page about haunted house and scary movies and whatever, because, like, when I come into contact with people who are like diehard scary movie fans, they're like, how could you not be? You know what I mean? So I feel bad that we're not giving them a voice here, because we are all in agreement. But again, let us know on Instagram, at our email address, wherever you feel comfortable. Tell us your opinions. We're curious to hear.
Definitely. And I think that, like, as far as how I want to participate in spooky season, I want to be on the Disney Channel original movie side of the spectrum, not on the Blumhouse whatever side of the spectrum. And, like, I think that witchcraft, wizardry, spells, magic, I love all of that.
Totally.
Like, so much. Like, if there was one thing that I would enjoy the most about the Halloween season is, like, playing around or pretending with the idea that, like, spells and magic exist.
Totally. And Halloween Town, so important. We can't not mention Halloween Town.
Yeah.
And other, like, you know, classic childhood Halloween films.
There's so many.
Halloween Town forever and ever. I am a Halloween Town stan until the end.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I think that we covered our feelings on the spooky season. So next we'll be talking all about the costume arts. So Lily, do you want to tell us a little bit about how you feel about costumes?
Yes, I love costumes. When I think of Halloween, that is the first thing that comes to mind, is the costumes that I'm wearing, the costumes that my friends are wearing. You know, ever since I was little, I think the most prominent memory in my mind of Halloween is going to Party City a few weeks before Halloween with my mom and my brother or my family or whatever, and picking out the costume and then going home and trying it on, taking it out of the plastic wrap and like having it smell so weird and costumey. getting to choose every year what I was going to be. I think it's one of the biggest parts of Halloween. So I know that for a lot of my life, I was like, okay, I'm not going to go crazy with costumes. I definitely was someone who played it safe. I think that I maybe fell into the basic category of costumes and all of that. But in preparation for this episode, I've been thinking about what my favorite Halloween costume that I ever got the pleasure of being in was. And I'm really hoping that by the time this episode comes out, I can find a photo of this. But one year I dressed up as one of my very favorite things, candy corn. And what made this costume so wonderful is that I had a 3-tiered wig that was pointed at the top. So I had my white hair at the top and then my yellow hair and then my orange hair. So I myself was the candy corn, as well as a dress that mimicked what I had on top and some wonderful boots.
What age was this, Lily?
It was sometime in elementary school. I would say maybe like 3rd grade, but that's definitely an approximation. So I would love to hear about your 2 favorite costumes you've had and any other comments on the costume arts of Halloween.
So I would say that, like, looking back on my childhood costumes, I have on more than one occasion been candy as well. I remember being the sexy green M&M. but I wasn't the sexy version because it was like in elementary school or whatever. I also was a Tootsie Roll one year. And I just remember liking those costumes because they were like, they felt fun, you know, like being able to dress up as the candy and like have the legitimate logo on in like a full costume form. Mm-hmm. I remember getting a kick out of. In recent years, I have been very likely to opt for something more practical because I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't personally love spending money on a costume that like, I don't see myself really ever wearing again. Mm-hmm. And I also, I don't know, like, as far as the costume arts go, I do think it's a pretty hard balance to strike of getting something that's like, fun and creative, something that's comfortable. So when it comes to the costume arts, in my mind, it's a matter of striking the right balance of fun and creative, something that's comfortable, something that's cute, something that's like flattering, I guess. You know, like I just feel like there are so many requirements that in my mind make the ideal costume that it's just a lot of the time so difficult to actually accomplish that. So I, in recent years, have opted for costumes that I can wear like all of my own usual clothing, but then maybe just accessorize or utilize makeup to really enhance the look and get the Halloween costume that I hoped for.
Totally. And I will say that my favorite of Gigi's Halloween costumes, actually I have 2. One was when she was Dakota Fanning from Uptown Girls, which was iconic. Like she had these little sunglasses. Maybe we can find a photo of that because I really enjoyed that costume. I also have very fond memories of Gigi being I don't want to say sexy minion, but girly minion.
Like I forgot
girly,
about that.
Girly take on minionhood.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I feel like everyone in their life has like done the spectrum of Halloween costumes because, you know, you do ones that are like weird and kiddie and you do ones that are like fun. And when you're just like in middle and early high school, like you just don't know like what to do for Halloween and you're just like a little lost. So it ends up with some funny costumes, but you make your way out of it. I don't have any costumes from my childhood that were like really that great in my opinion. Like, I was always just something like really basic, like a cheerleader. Like, I was a pink lady one year, even though I hate Grease. Like, I don't enjoy Grease. But some of my favorite costumes, when I was in high school, I was Cher from Clueless, and I recreated one of her outfits, I think, very masterfully. So that was something I was really proud of. And one of my favorite costumes in college was that I was a fairy, which I think is kind of like what Gigi is saying about something that you can wear your own clothes and pretty much do everything that you would normally do just to look cute. And then you just have wings. So that was really fun. I was also Dorothy one year, and I got a little stuffed animal and had a little basket with Toto, and people really enjoyed that. Like, I got a lot of people being like, oh my God, you're Dorothy, you look so cute. So that's always fun when you have a costume that like people enjoy and think is fun. I have a question for you guys. What do you think about family costuming and or like matching costumes and like children being forced into costumes?
Okay, family costumes, that's a hard no from me. I don't think it's funny. I think it's weird. But I do really like group costumes. Like, in high school, Gigi and I were Blair and Serena from Gossip Girl. Last year, my roommates and I were the Ninja Turtles. I think that's really fun and a good way to, you know, figure out that medium in between, like, okay, do I go all out? Do I go super basic of like, okay, if I do this with others, then it kind of normalizes it, especially in your sophomore citizen phase where it can be kind of hard to navigate a somewhat childish holiday. I think that the group costumes are wonderful. I love them. The family costumes, though, I think that's very odd. I will never be caught dead in those. I think they're weird.
So obviously I brought up the family costumes because I have a strong opinion on it, which is that I absolutely hate that. I feel like I've just seen on Instagram, you know, a lot of like mom family influencer types doing family costumes with their children. And like, I just think that that's so mean to like not let your kid, you know, choose what they want to be, but they have to be something that like fits into your family. I also am not going to lie, I find pregnant Halloween costumes really weird. Like, if I was like 8 or 9 months pregnant on Halloween, I am staying home. But like, people like will paint like a skeleton on their pregnant belly body.
How bizarre. You know, here's the thing. I wouldn't feel that negatively about family costumes if families and children had multiple nights of Halloween the way that young adults and adults do. Like, obviously, as a young adult slash adult, like, you just celebrate Halloween basically like on the weekend nearest Halloween. And so you get multiple nights and you could do multiple costumes.
Halloween weekend.
Yeah. And it's like, when I think about a family, let's just say all dressing up as characters from Harry Potter, like if the dad is Voldemort and like the mom, if she has the right hair, is Snape, and then the kids get to be like Harry and Ron and Hermione, like that's so fun and cute.
That is cute.
But also, like, I get that, like, if not everyone is on the same page and you only get one night as a kid to be whatever you want to be, like, you should get that choice.
Yeah. I will also say, like, our parents never were the type that dressed up for Halloween. I feel like Disney families, like people who have like year-round passes to Disney, like those are the parents who are dressed up in costume for Halloween, you know, and doing the trick-or-treating like dressed up.
I see that.
So that's also something that I think is kind of interesting, is like dressing up to go trick-or-treating with your kids like as an adult. Like, I don't really necessarily see myself doing that, but I don't know, like, I guess maybe something that's like really easy.
I would say that my family is an anti-Disney family, so I don't think we fit into that category at all. Nevertheless, both my parents always dressed up to trick-or-treat with us, and they did things that were completely unrelated to each other or our costume. Like, I can remember my mom being a Girl Scout one year. I can really only remember that, so that's the only example I have. But I do think that was cute and just made it all the more exciting for my brother and I as kids to see that our whole family was getting into it. I also remember every Halloween, my grandparents would come over before we went trick-or-treating to take pictures of us in our costumes and give us some candy, and they would always dress up as well. And it just made the holiday, like, it heightened the whole experience. So I do really like everyone dressing up. But I remember, for the costumes to be unrelated. I don't really want them to correspond again. I think that's weird.
I can remember, Lily, being at your house as a kid, and I think your parents were going to a like costume party. And I think I remember your mom was being like a 70s person or like a hippie or something like that, because she was just trying to go off of what clothes she had available to her. And I remember, I honestly can't remember if it was like designated for Halloween or if it just happened to be like a costume party at some random point in the year. But I remember as a kid being like, oh, that's so fun. Like, my parents don't really like get into the spirit of it. And I definitely would like see myself as a parent wanting to participate at least a little bit just to like get the fun festive vibes going.
Definitely. And do you girls have a costume that you've always wanted to do but have never had the means or opportunity to do?
Yes, I really want to dress up as one of the Incredibles, specifically Mrs. Incredible in her black suit. And I wanted to do it last year.
Wait, Elastigirl?
I'm going to need to reference some photos and possibly...
The mom?
The mom is Elastigirl.
No, I know, but...
Why is she in a black suit?
Yeah, it's a red suit. Hold on. Unless you mean Edna Mode. She's the only one who wears black.
I don't want to be... Oh, maybe I do mean in the red suit. But, like, the tight one.
Yeah, the red suit of the mom, and she's got her voluptuous butt.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, I really want to dress up as Elastigirl, and I wanted to do it last year, but as I mentioned, my roommates and I were Ninja Turtles, so it would have been kind of lame if I backed out of that one, and I had plans of doing it this year, and like looking so good, but I'm not going to do that to sit in my apartment, so next year.
Going back to Harry Potter, I have for a few years wanted to be a Hogwarts student. But like, that's the kind of costume I personally wouldn't want to have to do makeshift, you know, right. Like with my own items. Like, I want the legitimate costume with the right colors and the Hogwarts emblem and like the cloak, you know, everything.
Who would you be?
I mean, if I could just be general Hogwarts student,
interesting.
Or I mean, maybe I'd be Harry, maybe I'd be Hermione. It would just kind of depend on my mood.
Right.
It's really just a matter of a scar on the forehead.
Right. So, a scar or not a scar.
Right.
I have always wanted to be Uma Thurman from Kill Bill.
Two suits. We have a couple full body suits.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Me and Lily would look so cool together. That I just think that's such a good costume, but I also just think like that's a costume that's hard to find the correct, recipe for, as she's wearing like a yellow, full body jumpsuit. So that would be difficult to find and just very bold, I think.
Diesel, I actually saw someone dress up as that a few years ago. I'll send you a photo. And she looked wonderful in it, but it was very bold.
Yeah, I mean, so I think that was a beautiful combo about costumes. And Gigi, I would love to know what your topic is.
Yes, I thought that it is important, as we've somewhat touched on to this point, but I would love for us to expand on the differences between Halloween as a kid versus Halloween as a young adult, because they are two vastly different experiences, wonderful in their own ways, but I'm curious to know if you guys have a preference and what aspects of each experience we like best.
I think that this is an interesting question to try to kind of decide like which one I like better. Because obviously as a kid, I always really enjoyed trick-or-treating, but now that I'm an adult, like I do think that adult Halloween is far superior. The candy, first of all, when you come to the age where you realize, oh, I could just go to CVS and buy the candy and like not have to go and like ask for it from strangers, you know, like, or November 1st, go get some on sale candy, you know? So that's first of all, like that's a point for the adult Halloween that you can just provide yourself with your own candy. And then on top of that, it's all about like drinking and having fun and going out. And like Gigi is saying, I just think that young adult Halloween, there's just more of it. There's just more days where you're doing it. And I think that the repetition and like the different nights and like doing something different for like three nights of Halloween when you're in college, like that's so much more fun to me than one night of Halloween where like maybe it was a school night and like you had to go home early, you know?
I just think the magic of being a child and waiting for the moment that you get to go out and go trick-or-treating, coming home and doing my favorite part of Halloween as a child, which was trading my candy with my friends and family. That feeling that I will never be able to get back. Similarly to when I was little and like the night before my birthday, I literally felt magic pumping through my veins. That is so incredible that I have to say Halloween as a child is better than as an adult. But that's not to say that all of the points that you brought up, Liesl, are not valid and that I don't agree with all of them.
You know, I'm so glad that I let you both speak on this first because it's really allowed me to collect my thoughts on this. My initial answer is Halloween as a kid is better. Like it in its purest form is what Halloween is about.
Yeah.
And as Lily is saying, you get the magic pumping through your veins. You get to come home and trade your candies. Just a little side note, Lily and I made a perfect Halloween pair because I always wanted anything chocolate and she always wanted anything like banana, licorice. Laffy taffy, licorice, that kind of stuff. So like we really complemented each other well in the, you know, quest for
Whereas,
Halloween
like,
candy.
Us, we're like, give me that Twix, give me that Kit Kat, like fighting against each other. For
and
candy.
Wanted to discard anything that was like a lollipop.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is a lot of fun to be had as a young adult with Halloween, like you've mentioned, Liesl, with the multiple nights and getting to do multiple costumes and obviously just like drink. It's like a heightened version of what you do on a regular basis. And I love bringing that extra fun to like a random night of partying, let's say. So I do think that there is a lot of value in young adult Halloween because it's like everyone is taking on this responsibility to have some extra fun and to do something a little extra fun as opposed to just like a usual night of drinking. But I do think that Halloween is stronger in its vibrations and more powerful as a child.
Yeah. I think that like Halloween itself is a child's holiday. You know, it is meant for the children and I'm so glad that the children get to have it. But just like looking back for me, like I just didn't feel the magic of Halloween, I think, as much as other people did. And I think that like also just like as a kid, I tended to be more on the shy, like nervous side. So I think that like wearing a costume, which is sort of like a look at me moment, even though it's like on Halloween, I just didn't enjoy that as much. And I think that like a lot of times I would get stressed about what to be for Halloween. And like, as much as going to the Halloween store and picking something out was exciting, it was also very overwhelming. Like those stores just like packed with shelves and shelves of costumes and you only get one, or at least like we did. So that whole process was just overwhelming. So I think that's why me, like, I'm much more suited towards adult Halloween. I also think that like celebrating Halloween in New York and like just walking down the streets and just like every adult and person is in a costume, like bouncers are in costumes, like people that you would just like never expect to be dressed up are dressed up, and people go hard for Halloween like in New York. And so that energy, that vibe, I just think is so fun. And I know that when I was studying abroad and I was in Amsterdam for Halloween, no one did anything for Halloween. And like, I just think that's really sad. Like, and Amsterdam is such a fun city. And so we still like found stuff to do, but no one cared at all. And I know that Gigi, your experience in Barcelona might have been a little different.
Yeah, Barcelona is like supposedly more of a Halloween hub than most other European cities. I don't really know how this happened or why, but one thing that I can say from my experience being present for Halloween was that like, similarly, you'd see people walking down the street like in costume, but everyone who was like a local person was dressed like scary as fuck. Like
yeah.
It wasn't like time for haha fun costume.
It's like scary spooky.
Because they have another holiday in the springtime that's just like for costumes, where like that's where kids and adults get to just like do whatever costume they want, whoever character, whatever they want. Whereas Halloween is specifically designated for the scary costume. Uh-huh. So like that was an interesting difference that I had noted. Because here, like, you obviously can go as scary as you want.
Yeah.
But I would say the majority of people opt for, like, just a fun character or, like, a job or, like, profession costume or yeah. whatever.
Yeah, that's such an interesting difference. Okay, beautiful. Gigi, do you want to give the recommendations?
Sure. So, Liesl and I decided just the other day to embark on a seasonal baking journey. We had to do a little research to find the right item, but we ultimately landed on pumpkin cheesecake slutty brownies. These are scrumptiddlyumptious. Like, I cannot stress enough how pleased I am with the result of this baking endeavor. And I would say that it was the perfect amount of like baking work, because it wasn't super hard or like involved or time consuming, but it was just the right amount where it was like still an activity, you know, still something to do. And the final product is something that we're so excited to have in the house to eat, to enjoy. And it is the right amount of seasonal flavor for me. Like, definitely you get that pumpkin coming through, but there's still a fun chocolate flair that personally I need, you know?
Totally.
All right, for my fellow cheesecake haters out there, I have your seasonal baking recommendation, which is that my roommates and I last weekend went apple picking. So we have a disgusting amount of apples in the house, and we have been doing lots of apple baking this week. So the two best things we have made are, one, apple chips, which is a personal favorite of mine. You literally just slice up the apples and put them in the oven at a really low heat for a really long time, and then they are crispy, crunchy deliciousness. And the other thing is, we made apple muffins yesterday, which I'm sure you can use any recipe in the world. We used a vegan one to suit Shira's vegan needs, as you guys know from the episode she was on. And they are so good. And the apple cinnamon flavor also makes your house smell amazing. So they have been really fun to bake, really fun to eat, and really fun to smell.
Well, thank you all so much for listening to Sophomore Citizens, the podcast by young people for young people, with new episodes every Monday. So we'll see you wise babies then. Also, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Sophomore Citizens, as well as TikTok. And you can email us at sophomorecitizens@gmail.com. And please be sure to leave a 5-star review.